It's me, and this is the news, according to me. Yeah, we're back in the studio, well, the home studio. I decided not to go into my main office this morning. I kind of had originally planned to do that, but I love this cat that likes to crawl around on the foam cushions inside my studio here. There's a way of sneaking in here. He's looking at me right now. Like, yeah, go ahead, start your little show. I'll show you who's in charge. Yeah. He's over here beside me now. I'm not sure what he's going to do. If I suddenly disappear, or if you hear this little meow and then just like chomping noises like someone's eating me, that you might want to call somebody. He's prowling around. So anyway, more importantly, this, you know, with all everything going on in the world, I think it's rather, well, you know, you have to know this morning. Last night's show, by the way, because this is the other thing everybody's all concerned about. Last night's show was recorded at about 11:30 last night. I just was able to post it this morning. So last night's show is it's old news. So if you see it, it's old news. Don't bother listening to it. It's old. It's already, you know, 6 hours old. Now this show, however, you won't hear this about this. You won't get that announcement until, you know, 6 hours from now, probably. And there goes my cat, crawling to the top of the ceiling again. Now he thinks this is fun. I'm not sure. Now he's looking at me from above. He's got the upper hand on me. Now he's got the high ground. This is dangerous. So, yes, and the important thing about all this is you have to keep in mind that there is, you know, there's something very important here that we have to discuss, and that is what is in my cup. Well, this morning, because of the fact that it's early, you know, 8:30 in the morning. That's early for me, and I have hot chocolate with spice creamer in here. So you know kind of where I am, because I that's what I have at home. I'm concerned that this cat may just jump down on them. He's like 4 feet above me. He may jump down on my desk. It's hard to tell what he might land on. And he'll scamper off as if, hey, that was fun. After he destroys everything on my desk. Yeah. He's looking at me like, what are you going to do about it? Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about the news and what I think about the news, because that's why you tune in. I know it is. You want to know, you know, what does Kevin think about the news? And that's what you're going to get this morning. You're going to get what I think about the news. So here it is. This is what I think about the news. I think the news is it's a great thing, but it's the news itself is kind of bad these days. A lot of bad news out there. So that's what I think. There you go. Let's talk about the GOP for a second. I just read this little headline. I haven't really read the article, but I read the. I wish you could see what I can see. What my cat is doing right now. Anyway, the GOP, grand old party, has drawn a line in the sand, the red line, I guess that you might call it. I didn't read the article, but I just had to, I was laughing so hard when I saw saw the headline that I figured I probably wouldn't even be able to read the headline because I'd be laughing too hard. I was laughing so hard I couldn't hardly click the link to the article. The GOP has established a red line now with Biden. You know, that old famous, you cross this line, then, oh, there's going to be consequences. That's what that means. It's the red line. It's the you've gone too far line. So let's discuss this little red line. My question is, if I was a Democrat right now, I'd be looking at the Republicans going, boo-hoo, wah-wah. You and whose army? I mean, what are you going to do about it? Just exactly what is it you're planning to do about it? Because are you going to, well, we're going to fight against you. Okay, go, you collect all your votes over there and see how that comes out for you. Because you had your chance. You had your chance. And you rolled over. I guess they think that, well, you just wait till 2022 comes around, then we're going to get you. That's a year and a half away. They have overwhelmed the system with so much legislation already, and they're just getting warmed up, folks. They are going to run this stuff down our throats so fast, and the media will just give them a pass because they can do no wrong. There are radicals in charge of this administration, radicals, and they're not radical constitutionalists, folks. These people hate the founding of this nation, the Constitution, and all the principles it was founded on. They hate it. The only reason they like it at all, if they do like it at all, the only reason they do is because it allows for them the opportunity to destroy it. That's the problem we have right now. And these people have put themselves in seats of power. It doesn't take an entire 50% or 51% of the nation to vote this stuff, to vote your rights away. It just takes a few people in power. The ruling oligarchy, which they're setting themselves up to become, a ruling class of individuals. See, this is at its fundamental principle. This is where this whole thing of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the reason I'm so appalled that Congress wants to send back people that are sent as representatives, elected by their community, because that's the whole point of this. Our democracy, the way our republic is established. We use a democracy principle to elect representatives to go to Washington for us. They have no right to send them back. Oh, we're not going to accept you because you said this or that. We're going to send you back. They want to expel Marjorie Taylor Greene and several other House representatives. Now think about this. In your little community, let's just say it's just in your city. In your neighborhood, you have the ability to, like in some cities, some bigger cities, they have like aldermen. I'm not even sure how that all works, but they have like local representatives in the city. And you talk to your alderman, and then the alderman goes to the city council. That way, hordes of people don't show up to lynch people if they're screwing up their neighborhoods. So let's say you have a small neighborhood, and there's going to be a big meeting downtown. And you live in a town of, 50,000 people, say. And rather than, everybody going having to, take time out of their schedules to go to this meeting, your community elects a person to represent all of you. Say there's 25, 30 people, 30 homes in your little neighborhood, and have someone there to represent you and make sure that your property rights are protected in your neighborhood over a particular issue. And so you elect that individual who has the time, doesn't have a job, and, somebody like me who just has, time on their hands, nothing to do. So you elect me to go in downtown and represent you. That was your first big mistake right there. And because this isn't the news according to you, by the way, I don't know if you've understood that. This is the news according to me, because I, you know, so can imagine what kind of representative I would be. This is Kevin. He's from the great state of me. He's representing his constituents. All of them are me. So that's the way. That's. I'm just kidding. So we had this election. You elect this person, and they go downtown. And the people downtown in the city say, "Well, we don't want this person to represent you. We're going to send him back. We're not going to accept this person because they said some things. We know this person has some issues. We're not going to accept them here in our council meeting to represent you." That's not their choice to decide that. You, the community, are the ones who tell them what to do. And these people are teetering on this idea. And this is megalomania. This is despotism. It is top-down ruling of our nation instead of the other way around. And it is exactly what the problem is in Washington right now. The establishment Republicans are beginning to believe that they are the ones who are leading us, and they have power over us. And unfortunately, this is the narrative that our nation has begun to accept. This is why people freak out so much when a president is elected that they don't like. Because in their head, the president has power over them. And it should not be that way. You should have power over yourself. You should have a sovereign life. The right to rule within your own property and effects. And they are taking that away. Under the guise that it all belongs to them anyway, they're just letting us use it. Much like property rights, property taxes. The state owns all the property. We just have to pay rent for it. Or they take it away. By the way, the hot chocolate that's in my cup, it's almost gone. So things are going to get really wild here in a little bit. So this red line just cracks me up. Because the GOP, who had an opportunity to stand lockstep and demand answers about this last election, who sat by, stood by, and basically denied any ability to do anything about anything. Meanwhile, the left is telling us they have actually said out of their mouths that this was the most clean election ever in the history of the United States. Tell me that again. Just say it one more time to my face, so I can see exactly the way a person lies. Because that is the most absolute, ridiculous statement. All before the election, oh, the Russians are already meddling. Oh, the Chinese are already meddling. Oh, they didn't really want to say anything about the Chinese, really, because they're pretty close to the Chinese. The CCP, that is. The Chi-Coms. Chinese Communist Party, who rules with an iron fist. They want that kind of government here. They think it's a pretty good model. They really do. That's actually, some people have said that. People in leadership now think that the Chinese Communist Party has a good model. Because, you know, you destroy the idea of individual personal liberties and the idea of government protecting those liberties for every individual. Every individual, regardless of how you identify yourself, that you should have your rights protected as an individual. One of the ways we do that is by not giving certain people special rights. If you start giving people special rights, elevated rights, that means someone else is dispossessed of their rights because now they have rights over you. But that math doesn't work in the Common Core technology that we have now today, because people have gotten completely away from any kind of common sense. And actually, common sense is very uncommon these days. It's more like uncommon common sense. Uncommon sense, I guess, would be, yeah.
Not common at all. It's common in the fact that it's, you know, it's the every man kind of, every person or whatever.
I'll probably hear about that. So the GOP has established this red line.
Oh, you better not do that. Oh, you better not be going there with those tax hikes, because that's what they're saying. They're saying if Biden does tax hikes, increases taxes on the middle class or anybody really, oh, that's the red line. You've crossed the red line now, whoopersnapper. Now we have to redraw another line because we can't do anything about that one. But we're going to draw a line over here now. Don't, you can't do that. Oh, okay, you're going to cross that one too. Okay, well, we're going to draw another line here. We'll just keep stepping back and drawing lines because we don't really have any power at all. But we're going to act like we're going to fight because that's what we do best. When we have no power, we can act like we're really mad about it. And then when we get power, we don't want to make anybody mad, so we won't do anything about it. That's called being feckless, by the way, just in case they need to know. In case any of you are listening to this broadcast, you need to know what the definition of that is. Feckless would be the establishment GOP. That would be exactly that. You'd see a picture of them all there if you looked up in a dictionary. And I'm surprised now at how many people are, speaking of feckless, Kevin McCarthy. I'm surprised at how many people have actually called him out. And a lot of pundits are actually saying that he's, you know, he is a rhino. He's not, he's a mealy-mouthed, wishy-washy individual. Now, you know, what you'll, the problem is that we have here, and this is when anybody gets into that position of minority speaker or speaker of the House. I see he will be speaker of the House if they win the House this time, probably, I would imagine. And the reason that it is so hard to get them out of that position once they are in there, like Boehner, when they're trying to get Boehner out of there and he couldn't get him out. When they get into that position, they are in control of a lot of power in the way of money, funding, campaign funding. And the campaign funding trickles down into all kinds, into a lot of people's, you know, they can decide. That person has the ability to decide who gets funding and who doesn't and how much they get. They are wielding a huge amount of power in that respect. I know that my local representative here, I'm not going to mention anyone's name at this point. I might if it happens again. It happened once. If it happens again, I'm going to be all over it. And this person was swayed by political campaign funding. Now, it's just my opinion. Because that's all this show is. It's just me with a microphone and my opinion coming out, oozing out of the brain cells in my head, squeezed out by hot chocolate. It's not quite as hot as it was. I wouldn't call it hot chocolate even now at this point. It's more like just kind of chocolate milk. So, but it's still good, by the way. It's still yummy in my tummy. So this is the kind of power these people have that they get in there. Now, of course, the establishment GOP
wants to play both sides of the aisle. They want to play nicey-nicey with everybody, and they think that that's the way to get votes because they have to get the independent vote. And these are the people who don't believe that Trump won the election because everybody hated him so much, and so they got to placate to those people because they believe the mainline lying, cheating, fake news media. That's what's happening there. Oh, we'll be better. They're believing this whole lie that you can't stand up for yourself and go and push back and just be the party you're supposed to be and stand on your principles because they're principles. Because you swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They don't even understand what that means. They don't understand the founding principles of the Constitution. This idea of personal liberty, and they're sent to Washington to represent those principles of personal liberty, sovereignty. They don't get that. They don't get that. So you represent, you know, you elect this little person to go up to the city hall here, and they go up there and they don't represent themselves. They go up there to represent the neighborhood and what the neighborhood wants. They say, well, my neighborhood doesn't want this in their neighborhood. Because it takes away from their individual rights, their property rights, whatever the thing is that they're trying to pass in City Hall, you go up against it, and you go up against it with the principle that this is not how we live here. Now maybe your neighborhood wants that. Your neighborhood wants to be a communist neighborhood. So your neighborhood, you know, decides we want to give up all of our rights and we want the city to take over everything. We want to give all of our property to the city. And maybe that's the way, then maybe that's where your neighborhood is. And so you elect this representative to go downtown and tell them that. And then now, realistically, in a situation like that, here's how it should go. The city should say, well, that is unconstitutional, and we will not do it because we can't do it. So whether you want us to do it or not, we're not going to do it because it's unconstitutional, and that's the nation you live in, is this constitutional nation. And until the Constitution is abolished or changed or we do something different, then you have to work at it out on that level. Well, that's kind of the level they're working on it now. They will pack the court. Now, Dinesh D'Souza had a really interesting video cast. I don't know if it was his, I guess he calls it his podcast, but it was a video, little video thing he did with, I think it was with his wife, who is from Venezuela. And she talked about what happened in Venezuela when Hugo Chavez got into office down there. What she described during the elections and everything that happened after that are so eerily similar. I mean, cookie cutter similar, like identical similar to what has just happened in our nation in the last year. A crisis was created. It was mostly a regional crisis with just their country. That scared everyone. Hugo Chavez had the answer. Now, he was not that popular of a person when he first got elected. When he came into power, and I mean power, not representation, he came into power. The election was going on and everything was, you know, going fine and they were counting the votes. And of course, now this is a country that was using, this is exactly where they started this whole thing with Dominion and Smartmatic. And in the middle of the night, they had to stop counting when everybody went to bed. About midnight, 11 o'clock, midnight, something like that. We're going to stop the count right now. We have to stop counting right now. Well, the next morning they woke up to Hugo Chavez is winning. He was losing it before they stopped counting. And the nation woke up to a new president. Presidente. I don't even know if they speak Spanish. They might speak Portuguese. I don't know what they speak down there. So here we are. Here we are all of a sudden. And then guess what they did? They packed the court. They went from having, I think it was 22 people on the Supreme Court. 20 people to 18, 19. I don't know what it was. It was right around 20 people, give or take a few. To over 30. And all of them were seated by Hugo Chavez. I wonder how that worked out for them. And the Supreme Court there became another branch of legislation. And that branch of legislation would, just throw down, knock down, throw out any cases that came up that were anything against any kind of policies that Hugo Chavez established. It was a kangaroo court. Not a Supreme Court, it was a kangaroo court. So we're headed there. Thank you, Mr. Roberts, for not hearing any cases about the election cases. Just simply not hearing them. Throwing them out on standing. Just throw them out. Now, if all of the Supreme Court judges, Clarence Thomas and Alito and all the others, would have said, if it would have been unanimous that they weren't going to hear them based on standing, I would have a little bit less confidence that there was any standing at all. It has become very clear that because there were a couple of judges that I trust that are constructionists, originalists, they are saying they should have been seen, they should have been heard for good reasons. And I've heard some of the, I've kind of put a pause on some of this, on responding to some of this, because I didn't really hear why the vote went the way it did. Thomas has come out since and spoken about it and made it very clear that it should have been heard. And I agree. This was a political maneuver John Roberts' case. So I'm very, appalled by that. So there you go. Let's talk about the generals. There's a little story about the generals I want to mention that I think is worth mentioning. There are 120 retired generals. They have this organization. I guess they're loosely associated with each other. They have some kind of a lift the light or something. I don't know what it's called. Lift the torch, burn the torch, something, raise the flag. I don't know what it's called. There's some kind of organization. And they have all come forward, or 120 of them anyway, have come forward, well, more than 120. I guess 124 or something, at least 120 plus. Have come forward to let us know that we are experiencing and entering into the most tyrannical administration that the United States has ever seen. They recognize exactly what's happening. And these are guys that see everything on the inside. They see the movements of the military. They see what's happening with government agencies and intelligence. They worked in this stuff all their lives. And they see exactly the maneuvering and the positioning and the posturing that's going on. And they're warning us right now. And this is only
Sorry, I had to sneeze there for a second. We are only in the first 6 months, within the first 6 months of this administration. And we are rolling into unknown territory. Let me just say, there were some, let's just say that there's a lot of concerns right now about the country that I think we need to be really on our knees about. How are we going to respond to this? Not react. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. I need to say this. I think I typed it in the description of last night's show, but I really need to say this. I'm not trying to scare anyone with the news that I talk about. That's not the purpose of this at all. It's not an attempt to scare anyone. This is a, you know, I'm hoping to inform you, the listener, and enable you to be prepared, to prepare yourself for what's coming, could potentially be coming. And the best way to prepare is on your knees. Follow the leading and the guiding of the Spirit that He has planted within you, the deposit that He has made in you as a believer. If you're not a believer, I would recommend that you look into that. Might be something there for you. So, I wanted to say that because I think that, you know, it's not, this is not about fear. This is about preparation. And they're very different things. Being well-informed, understanding, and being prepared. It's not in panic, not in some kind of reaction, but a response to what's happening. There's a difference between a reaction and a response. Someone throws a ball at your face, and your hands go up to protect yourself. That's a reaction. Someone throws a ball at your face and you smack it back at them with your forehead. That's a response. That's a trained response. You don't do that automatically, by the way. So let's take that to another step, another level. Somebody throws a ball at your face, and it hits you in the face. And then you take off after them, and you knock them down to the ground and hurt them. That's a reaction, by the way. That's not a response. Well, it's kind of a response. You've chose to do it, but it's still a reaction. It's a reaction out of rage, vengeance, all that. The response would better be. Let's talk about what just happened here. And then, you knock him to the ground and, you know, hurt him. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. And for the most part, I'm totally kidding. Not, you know, 99% kidding there. So, the fuel shutdown. Let's talk about this fuel shutdown thing. And then I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Philippines and in with China. Again, this thing with China. The CCP. The fuel shutdown thing, and I mentioned this to a coworker about 2 or 3 days ago. Three days ago when it first happened. Happened, you know, one evening and whenever it was, and it was in the news right away.
I said something to him, and he had no clue.
Oh, you know, it's this or this. Well, it'll be back, whatever.
Because that, and that was the general reaction most people had. I mean, that was, our understanding was, oh, this is just a blip. This is not a blip. And it's back up, it's not back up and running. They're saying by the weekend, what they're having to do is, now Florida's in pretty good shape. Florida is going to have, most refineries and the fuel that comes in to the country there is the oil and that kind of thing is down there. The refineries are down there. And so they're able to truck and move fuel around down there in ways that they, to get it up the coastline is a whole other story. Now you got to truck all that fuel up the coast. This is where pipelines come in. Pipelines are the safest, most monitorable, stable way to move fuel. When they shut down the Keystone pipeline, there's a lot of other pipelines going on all over the place, but they shut down that one. And so now we have to truck that oil and move it by rail car and boat. Well, what's that going to do when it spills? The pipelines are so well protected. It is unbelievable the technology we have right now to do the, because it's a static thing. It doesn't move. You don't have people crashing into a buried pipeline that's contained with all kinds of membranes and all kinds of other things that are in case there is a spill. It's an amazing technology. Amazing what we've done with that. But no, we have to, we can't do that because, whatever. So we have this shutdown now. Everybody's comparing things that are going on right now. Now, most of you don't remember, the 70s, because I'm sure most of you are younger than me, because I'm past that age of the normal age, the average age. So good up, it's quite, possible that most of you are older or younger than me. And it's a throwback to that. Now, again, I talked a couple shows ago, I started talking about the triggers, the things that trip us, and they trip us into a rising inflation as well as other shortages that snowball on each other with the supply chains and the cost of living. So we have, at its very basic, cost of living issue is the cost of building homes because of the price of lumber. It didn't just spike up for a little while. It's spiked up and it's not going down. And there's no, when you hear this open-ended thing of, well, we don't know when the price, the rising prices are going to stop. The reason they don't know is because the supply chain is still messed up. And they don't know exactly how they're going to get it back. When you disrupt something like that with a shutdown, it unbalances and everything. And sometimes you don't realize that the teetering that's been going on in the last 6 months, oh, we're just going to get back to normal. No, nothing in the supply chain is normal right now. There's all kinds of unbalanced stuff going on. Because industries that we didn't think were going to continue to go kept going and got bigger. Other industries didn't. That we thought were going to be fine, and they didn't. They're going under. So it's this weird situation. Everybody was talking about, well, restaurants aren't buying food right now, so the supply chain is, they're backing up with all this food. No, people are still eating. They're not eating out. The same people are still eating food. It's like, well, if I don't go to a restaurant, I just sit home and don't eat. I don't eat at all unless I go to a restaurant. No, it doesn't happen that way. But it does disrupt the supply chain with regard to how it's processed and where it's sent and how it's shipped and all these other things that are done with all this stuff. But I digress, because this whole fuel shortage thing that's on the East Coast right now could very well be a catalyst in along with the other things that are happening. We have I think the last estimate I saw was a 4.2% inflation rate just in the last 6 months. You know, we have people coming across the border at the highest rate ever. And that we know of. And then you got the secretary of whatever the, I don't know what he is, immigration secretary, whatever he is. No, we're not, you know, we're turning anyone away who's not bringing children. We're turning all the adults away. We're not letting anyone in who has, it's a family with children. We're not. So they're bringing, that's like this major thing to say. What ends up happening when you say something like that is, well, if we take children across the border, they'll let us stay. So they're snatching up kids, taking them across the border. Or if unaccompanied minors show up, we're going to take them in. Well, you know what happens then. Well, I'm separated from my parents. Can you get my parents here? They'll apply for they'll have their parents come into the country. The kids get here. They get a home. They get an apartment, whatever they do. They get a place to live. And then the parents come up. And they can live in the shadows. Don't tell me this doesn't happen. Because it happens in my neighborhood. It happens right here in my county. Full well. I know full well that it happens. So, yeah. So we have this issue now of all this stuff, you know, that prices are going to go up. The value of our dollar is going to go down. You've got cryptocurrency that's playing a role in some of the things that are going on. And there's talk of them cracking down on some of the cryptocurrency. And I'm a little bit speculative. I guess I should say suspicious of cryptocurrency's ability to continue to exist and in the form that we know it as of today. There are some theories out there, some speculation that that this whole thing was formed by a government agency. You know, everybody says, well, it's so well encrypted and it's all on all these different little computers and everything's blockchained. So it's completely secure. I don't know of anything that's completely secure in this country, in this world. I really don't. And I think that there's got to be there could very possibly be some way, some backdoor virus of some sort that's going to be tagged along with all this stuff that could somehow infect the entire cryptocurrency blockchain thing. I think if anyone thinks for a moment, any of us dweebs out there that think we understand zeros and ones well enough to understand all this stuff, the technology behind it all, there's no possible way that it could be taken out. I got news for you. I'm not 100% there. As I understand it, I'm about 90% on board with that idea. There's 10% of me that's still saying that this stuff could all go away. Now I dabble with a little bit of cryptocurrency, some Dogecoin. Kind of play with that a little bit. It's like a penny stock type thing. kind of fun to watch it go up and down, and it's relative to other things, how people mess around with it, which is kind of fun. But my nephew does very well with it. He's done very well with cryptocurrencies. But I digress. Let's talk a little bit about the desk of Donald Trump. We've got a little bit of time left, and I'm just going to cover a few things. He's been very active on his little site here for the last day or two. May 11th, he did a bunch of stuff. Congratulations to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. This is on 7:15 p.m. on May 11th. I don't think I read this one yet. Congratulations to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts for the privilege that we have in looking at massive windmills that have been approved by the Biden administration and are being built in China, of course, as part of an extraordinarily large wind farm. Wind is an incredibly expensive form of energy that kills birds, affects the sea, ruins the landscape, and creates disasters for navigation. Liberals love it because they can't explain why, but they can't explain why. In any event, Martha's Vineyard, an absolutely wonderful place, will never be the same. Good luck. From the desk of Donald Trump. I have to agree with everything he said there, frankly. The Republicans, this is 8:33 a.m., May 12th, this was yesterday. The Republicans in the House of Representatives have a great opportunity today to rid themselves of a poor leader, a major Democrat talking point, a warmonger, and a person with absolutely no personality or heart. As a representative of the great state of Wyoming, Liz Cheney is bad for our country and bad for herself. Almost everyone in the Republican Party, including 90% of Wyoming, looks forward to her ouster. And that includes me. He's not from Wyoming, but that's, he's, you know. 9:36 a.m. Monday, or May 12th. Wednesday, May 12th. 2021, from the desk of Donald Trump. Liz Cheney is a bitter, horrible human being. I watched her yesterday and realized how bad she is for the Republican Party. She has no personality or anything good having to do with politics or our country. She is a talking point for Democrats, whether that means the border, the gas lines, inflation, or destroying our economy. She's a warmonger whose family stupidly pushed us into the never-ending Middle East disaster, draining our wealth and depleting our great military, the worst decision in our country's history. I look forward to soon watching her as a paid contributor on CNN or MSDNC. From the desk of Donald Trump. Yeah. Donald Trump, 2:27 p.m. May 12th, 2021, posted apparently this is a tweet from Sean Hannity. I'm not a big fan of Sean. He's not bad, but I'm not a big fan of him. I don't like to listen to him too much. At Rep. Liz Cheney. Hope you're enjoying being embraced and praised by Dems and media and the media mob. The same people that called your dad a war criminal. Convicted Scooter Libby, and tried to destroy your father over his work with Halliburton. Counting the days until your new friends return to normal. They will turn on her. Right now they're holding her up as this, oh, look at what you're doing to this poor lady. Oh, look how mean you guys are. They will turn as rabid on her as, and she thinks it's great that the media is, you know, praising her right now. She loves that kind of, I guarantee you none of them will vote for her, ever. If she ever runs for office again, they will lambaste her and say she's a monstrous war-munging, all the things that Trump has said. Yeah. 3:09 p.m., May 12th, 2021, from the desk of Donald Trump. I see that everybody is campaigning. I see that everybody is comparing Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. It would seem to me that it is very unfair to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy mishandled crisis after crisis, but Biden has created crisis after crisis. Well, Jimmy did create a few. But I have to say Biden has topped him on that one. I have to agree there. First, there was the Biden border crisis that he refuses to call a crisis. Then the Biden economic crisis. Then the Biden-Israeli conference. And now the Biden gas crisis. Joe Biden has had the worst start of any president in U.S. history. And someday, they will compare future disasters to the Biden administration. But no, Jimmy was better. I don't know about that. That's yet to be seen. Joe has, within the first 6 months of his presidency, done a lot worse than Jimmy did in 4 years. But they're both pretty bad. From the desk of Donald Trump, 3:46 p.m., May 12th, 2021. If there were long and horrible gas lines like this under President Trump, the fake news would make it a national outrage. Did Joe Biden put Hunter in charge of our energy? With all of his Burisma experience? Even Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm is lost. And she is. May I make a comment about this for a moment? That was from the desk of Donald Trump. This is from the desk of me, according to me. When I saw Jennifer Granholm get up the other day and say, "This is not an energy crisis. This is not a fuel shortage. Don't hoard fuel. Don't buy fuel. You know, don't do this, don't do that. It's not an energy crisis." This is a typical response. This is a perfect example of the ruling elite, because it doesn't affect them, trying to tell us, "Oh, don't worry, it's going to be okay." You know, if you've got a business, or you've got to get to your job, or you've got things that you need that gasoline for to survive, to keep your family, you know, fed and keep life normal as it can be these days. And then some government leader comes out and says, "Oh, don't buy fuel, too much fuel, because, you know, don't hoard it." You know, for them, it is an energy crisis. I guarantee you, if she's driving along with her limo driver and the car runs out of gas, that's a crisis for her. It's not the end of the world for everybody else. No, it's not the end of the world, but it is in their world. It's affecting them. And all of a sudden, these bureaucrats who care so much about us and our health care and our children, that affect the children. You got to protect your children. What about all the children this is going to affect? Being able to get back and forth to school. Oh, I guess they don't have to go to school right now because it's COVID. What about the effect of everyone having, you know, who does have a job, being able to get back and forth to work? What about business owners who need their, you know, to put gas in their trucks every day because of the work they do? It's affecting airlines, airline travel. American Airlines is picking people up out of Charlotte, and rather than going directly to their destination overseas, international travel, they're going to another airport, changing planes, getting on a bigger airplane, going to an airplane with fuel in it, and then heading off to go wherever they're going. But, you know, don't worry, it's no crisis, no crisis, just a challenge. Well, for some people who have to wait in line for 3 hours to get a tank filled, you know, with gas, that's a crisis. But that's not the way they see it, because it doesn't affect them. When it does affect them, say somebody breaks into their home, the Temple of Democracy, sorry, all of a sudden it's a national emergency, and we need the National Guard, and we need fences and armed guards running around. Let me just address that for a second as well. We have some laws here in Indiana that I really appreciate. But stop and think about this. You know, they say, you know, somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night, say a bunch of people break into your house in the middle of the night. I got news for you. They better have some way of identifying themselves. If they're the police, they better have some way of identifying themselves. Because anybody can bust in the door and say, police, or FBI, or whatever they want to say, and shine a light in your eyes. You can't see badges. You can't see color. You can't see uniforms. You can't see anything. I guarantee you they're going to meet a few friends of mine at about a 1,700 foot per second velocity. I don't care who they say they are from behind a flashlight blinding me in the eyes. If I call 911, somebody's trying to beat my door down, and I call 911, they say it's the police. Well, okay, everything's... yeah, the police are there at your house. They're busting in. Okay, well, then I'll put down my 47 weapons, and they can talk to me on the phone. We'll just have a little discussion about what they want, because I'm not a violent offender. I'm not, I've got no record. There's no reason for them to be busting my door down. So now that's the kind of thing that people don't, you know, I hear people in the media talk about, the police busted in and they exchanged gunfire. Well, how did the police identify themselves? Did they identify themselves? How do you identify yourself when you're holding a gun at someone with a flashlight in their eyes? And when they shoot at you, that's somehow, they're the problem. They were minding their own business. This is just like a guy recently, I think it was in Texas, Plano, Texas, driving downtown, going, there's a crowd of people protesting. I won't mention any names, any initials. They're clogging up the street. And they do this a lot. They'll pick a spot that's fairly busy, and they'll make you say you have to say this to pass. You have to raise your hand with your fist, and you have to say a certain phrase, and then they'll let you through. If you refuse to say it, they start attacking you. They surround your car and they start beating your car and do all kinds of things. Yeah, I'm not hanging around for that party. There's going to be some people in the streets. The car wins in that case. Just to let any of you know that happen to be out there in front of my car when that happens. Because I'm not bowing down to that crap. Some states are passing laws now where if you feel like your life is in danger, you have the right to run them down to get out of harm's way. That's a good law. And I'll deal with that issue later. But in the meantime, I'll be fine. I'll be leaving. Thank you. We'll see each other in court if you want to sue me over it. And we'll have the discussion then. If you're alive. I guess it's kind of tough to talk if you know. Anyway. So I'm not messing around, folks. I'm not going to mess around with that kind of crap. That's just baloney. You took your life into your hands when you decided to walk out into traffic and stop it. To make a point, to make someone else say your phrase. Now, if you want to get a permit and shut down the street and do a thing, that's your business. That's fine. More power to you. Thank you for doing that, by the way. That's your patriotic right and duty. But just stopping people in the street and making them comply to your demands is outrageous. This man in Texas had enough. And he got out of his car. They were stopping traffic, wouldn't let anybody through. Got out of his car. Police officer standing there. Went over to talk to the police officer, told him, you know, to get out, get everybody out. Then he gets into an exchange with some of the people. Supposedly someone pulled a gun on him. He didn't back down. They finally told the police officer, told the guy to go away, expelled him from the scene. I think they ended up arresting him and charged him with some kind of assault because someone stuck their hand in his face and he knocked it out of his face. That was assault. No one else was charged in this incident. The state attorney general in Texas now is all over this case. I don't know what he's going to do, but this is pretty serious crap. Because when somebody is minding their own business in their truck, and this happened to another guy who was going from one job to another. I think he had he either had his own business or he had a business and he also had worked a job for somebody else. Going from one job to the next and got stopped, surrounded by a horde of people. They had guns. They were armed. He says he saw, you know, AR-15s and AK-47s, which is okay for them to have because, you know, they're, well, you know. And so he gets out of his car with his little 38. He's pointing at the ground. He says, the next person that points a gun at me they're going down. Well, they knocked him down, took the gun out of his hand. This guy was a foreign, you know, or a former military individual. First mistake was getting out of your car. Just don't do it. You know, your accelerator pedal at that point is probably a much better and more convincing method of protecting yourself. He ended up getting beat up so badly. They took his gun away, beat him up. It's quite a mess. And I believe he was charged also with certain offenses. It's ridiculous. Now, that happened out in Portland or Oregon, someplace out in Portland, I think. And you expect that out there because they're... So he's leaving. He's leaving the state. He said he's done. He's going to leave the state. Probably never coming back. Because, you know, we don't want those kind of people in our state. We want the kind of people who are just lawless mobs of individuals running around threatening people who don't comply. Those are the ones we want to protect and keep here and comply and placate. That sounds like a great idea. Keep running out the hardworking business owners, people who have served their country. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, speaking of making a lot of sense, I think it makes a lot of sense that I just conclude this podcast, because I think I've said enough. I've said a lot of things today. Probably maybe ticked a few people off. I don't know. Yeah, I don't care. So there you go. We have a lot coming up in the show this afternoon. There will be a show this afternoon if I can help it. Got a lot to do, but hopefully there will be a show this afternoon. Hopefully it will upload faster than 6 hours. So somebody please just send me some better internet service. What I need here, because it's just over with so fast that I don't know what to do with it. So God bless everybody. Hopefully we have a better day ahead of us. Hopefully keep praying for our nation, pray for each other, and we will get through this. Take care, everybody.